Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Bree. We've got
Dropping Bits!
Jacob. We've got Hazy JT dropping 100 biddies. Thank you, Hazy JT. And special guest Stemage is joining us, Grant Henry. How's everybody doing?
I'm okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I mean, I'm unemployed, you know, so. There's
Wait, what?
Yeah, I got fired on Monday.
Oh, damn.
What the fuck?
Yep.
Didn't they just send you to New York or something? Yep. What the hell?
Yeah, they did.
Damn, dude.
So they're bitches?
Yep.
Obviously.
According to my disclosure that I had to sign, I cannot confirm whether they are or are
they
not.
They're all bitches. Lovely people, right?
Well, I have to just admit that they exist. That's
you can neither confirm nor deny that they're lovely people. They're beautiful, wonderful, awesome people, supposedly, but you can't confirm that.
They could never confirm that. I can't confirm it.
You're not allowed to.
Nope. None.
You know what else we're not allowed to do? We are not allowed to run an interview that we were supposed to run today. Aki, you and I sat down with the lovely Benny from Bite Rockers Games. And then I set my thing to export. And I went down to take a nap, and I woke up, and the computer room was filled with smoke.
Oh, no. Fucking hell. I didn't realize it literally fried.
Yeah, so something on my PC fried. I am rocking my old computer right now for the night.
Jesus.
Our interview was lost. I don't know if we'll be able to get it back. I don't know if it's recoverable or if we'll be able to re-record. If not, my deepest apologies go out to Bite Rockers Games. Check out Beat Slayer now. It is on Steam. It is $20. It is a blast. Aki, you enjoyed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the game and the interview.
Tell us how much you enjoyed it.
It was a fantastic game, and the interview was pretty funny, too.
I know. That's what sucks. It was a good interview.
It's probably not the drive, right? Like,
I don't know.
Something else.
I don't know. I've been having issues with my hard drive for a while, so if that fried, I wouldn't be shocked.
That interview was hot.
What's super sad about this is I was actually useful during an interview once. Not super duper useful, but I was like 40% useful instead of my usual 40%. Like 2%. Yeah, it's a big improvement. And now it's gone, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, so that's how my day went. How did everyone else's day go? Hopefully better than mine.
I played Alan Wake 2 and nearly passed out, so...
What?
I'm just... for some reason, I've been super tired for, like, the past, like, I don't know, couple of months.
Oh, like, so they're unrelated. I'll sleep
for... Yeah, yeah, totally unrelated.
Okay.
I hope.
I thought Alan Wake
was
related
to like
almost passing
14
out.
Hours straight, wake up, and within like a couple hours, I am exhausted again and ready to go back to bed. It's bad.
Good times.
But I'm liking Alan Wake too.
I got hit with a couple of stressful things, like first thing this morning that I have to deal with all day tomorrow, and I'm supposed to, you know, pack to go away this weekend, and so yeah, I'm just a little stressed. It's fine.
Doing anything fun this weekend?
I'm doing more medieval stuff.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah.
What's medieval stuff entail?
I am a medieval recreationist or reenactor.
Oh, rad.
Doing it for Mumble Long Ears, and it's just a hobby that I've had around forever. I get my medieval on.
Is this like a group of local people?
It's actually a worldwide organization. It's a not-for-profit education organization called the SCA, and it's a pretty fun time. I just happened to be going to a more local event this weekend. There's like conventions with thousands upon thousands of people that show up. Like, I think we've had 15,000 people at this like 1-2 week long thing that they have every year. Jeez. In August. People come from all over the world.
Is this the place where you tell me the interesting stories from?
Possibly.
Okay.
Crazy.
The interesting stories.
Yes. Because
apparently everything else Bree has done is super boring compared to all the shit that goes down at this medieval reenactment thing, which
I have way more interesting stories, but like I'm legally obligated to not talk about them, or it is prudent that I don't talk about them for legal reasons.
Drop it, bits.
Moving on.
Hazy JT dropping 1,000 biddies this time. Hazy, thank you so much. You were helping fund my X screen for VGMCon. The X screen is not happening. I've given up on that happening. But if I get a payout before VGMCon, it'll help me with my computer.
Yeah.
Why does this shit happen the week before I'm going on a trip?
So with your computer shit, like, is this going to prevent you from going to VGMCon? Or
I hope not. My trip's next week. I leave on Wednesday. Like,
drop it, I've got to go.
AZJT dropping another 95 bitty. He's working hard to get a hype train going. And
just drop him one bitty at a time, then, yo.
It's just hazy.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Gotta be
get in like, there, Jacob. Start dropping people. A single bit at a time.
I don't have a computer in front of me, so.
What?
Drop it,
I had to send back my old work laptop today, so.
Injury getting in on the fun with 100 bitties. Thank you, Injury. Really, we don't need a hype train. I don't need it. We don't need it,
but we could always use one anyways.
I need a hug right now. That's what I fucking need.
Well, you have a wife, so, you know, get one.
I could send you a dick pic.
If you do that, I will show it on camera.
No takers? No takers?
Send it to Joe. Do it.
Drop it.
Hazy with another 100 biddies. Thank you so much, Hazy.
Wow, Hazy.
He's good peoples. He's a Hazy rock just, band Hazy, streamer.
Hazy wants to hear the scintillating stories.
Drop from it,
the
medieval
convention.
There's 100 biddies from Hazy. Thank you, Hazy.
I mean, the stories Bree has to tell are pretty fantastic. Okay. I enjoy a lot of them.
There's a lot of stories that I have that fall under the category of this one time I was in a foreign country and I was drinking a lot and I'm not sure how I got back alive. That's an entire category of stories.
I don't think you've told me any of those. I'm going to have story time sometime.
Yeah. A couple of them are alone or just like there's just a whole handful of them that are just from China. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm still not sure how I came back alive.
I just showed off the picture that Jacob sent me on camera. Sent me a dick pic. And I showed it on camera.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a dick. It's an actual animal.
Yeah.
I'm very clever.
It's like in elementary school when you were like, hey, do you want to see tits? And you show them birds. High class humor here on the SML podcast.
Always.
Oh, Grant, you ready for VGMCon?
I am. I'm very excited. I've been practicing a lot. I'm playing
like three performances.
Yeah, I got a full set with Super Strikers, and I'm going to be doing some songs with Arcadian, and I'm going to be doing a song with Theology, and that's all on Saturday. So all my tiny strings will be active on that day only, except for practicing and stuff. So it's going to be a big one. But I'm looking forward to it. I got a new toy. I got a new pedal.
Ooh.
That does all kinds of fun stuff that I've always wanted to do. Super Strikers demands more tones than Metroid Metal does, so I've never really looked into doing an upgrade, and I just did the upgrade, and it should let me do all the weird things I want. So I'm very excited. But yeah, looking forward to it. And you're leaving on Wednesday, and you're not going to have your X screen, but you're coming. So
yeah, I'm going to have my Switch with me. I picked up some Switch games to keep me occupied on the travel. So I what did I pick up? I picked up the Etrian Odyssey collection, the Mega Man Battle Network collection, the Pixel Remaster series. Just a bunch of shit to keep me occupied.
Cool. Very nice.
For the haul.
Yeah, that's going to be a long-ass trip. I'm leaving Wednesday at like 2:30 p.m. and I get there Thursday at around midnight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like a day and a half of travel.
So where you're stuck somewhere. Where are you stuck?
Well, I go from Harrisburg to Pittsburgh, and I'm there for a few hours, and then I go to Chicago, then I'm there for a few hours, and then I go to St. Paul.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And the same in reverse on Sunday morning I leave.
Gotcha. Yeah, you'll want those games.
People were telling me that it would be better to leave Sunday morning than like Monday morning because not much happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think a lot is going on that day. It's sort of everyone packing up. So, but it's gonna be fun.
Or you can just nap.
That's right. I figure I could stay up until I leave and then sleep on the train.
Yes.
I have a long ass train ride to go.
That's right. Oh my god, it's the train. That's right. That's what you're doing. Oh, that's so cool.
Yep, choo choo, motherfucker.
Oh my god, I love it. Choo choo, motherfucker, indeed.
I haven't ridden a train since I was a child, and I have never ridden like a long passenger train. So I have no clue what I'm in for. I hope the seats are comfortable. I hope I fit.
Better than a plane. So
yeah, and I don't have to worry about falling from the sky if I'm in a train.
Yeah, really.
The doors you just have to worry about derailment. That's
shut up, Aki.
You're welcome.
Shut the fuck up.
No stories about doors flying off of trains in the last month, right? So
not that I've seen, though. I think this is the safer route.
Trains are usually a lot better in that they don't fall apart, and that's where I'm going to leave that, so I don't scare Jeff.
A lot closer to the ground.
That's nice. Yeah, they're definitely closer to the ground. That is very true.
Most of the time,
At least they're supposed to be closer to the ground. If they're further up, then there's a big problem, and going back to the ground is the least of your fucking worries at that point.
Can you just, like, get up and, like, wander around the train? Can you, like, Snowpiercer your way all the way to the conductor? Like, what's the deal? Is there a drinky train? Is there an open-air car? I just picture Joe... well, he's going to be just sitting there playing Switch, but what he should be doing is exploring the giant Amtrak, I guess, that you're on. I don't know. That's fascinating. I want to go.
I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if I'm allowed to just like wander around and explore.
Yeah, they usually have like a dining cart available, and they have like the ability for you to stretch your legs. They'll have like little seating areas, like booths and stuff, so that people can kind of just... wander. There are some areas probably you won't wander, like because they have sleeper carts, sleeper train cars, and like some of those areas might be like off limits for you to walk on. But yeah, like you can get up and stretch your legs. You can get off at some of the bigger stops. Usually they'll tell you have like 10 minutes to smoke them, like if you got them, kind of thing, and you can get off the train. It just I wouldn't go very far.
Yeah.
You hear that, Joe? Smoke if you got him.
I'm worried about like people stealing my shit. That's my biggest concern.
Oh yeah, understandable.
So I'm gonna have my suitcase with me, and then I'm gonna have a carry on with like my Switch, and I'm gonna have an iPad with me so I could watch wrestling on Wednesday night.
You and your fucking wrestling, I swear.
Hey, if I'm gonna be on a train, I want shit to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's yeah. Just take your stuff with.
Why a soap opera?
Because I've been watching wrestling for like 30 some years, and I'm addicted to it, and I have no way.
I'll never understand soap operas.
Okay, you don't have to.
I just don't.
I'll never understand Gunpla. Fuck it.
You watch Gundam, and you're like, oh, I don't understand soap operas.
Yes.
The whole fucking original Mobile Suit Gundam is a 50 episode soap opera. That's all it is.
No.
It's an animated soap opera.
It's an animated soap opera, like with the guise of war in there, and like they threw in some mech robots to keep the boys interested. It's a fucking soap opera. Like, what do you think Gundam Wing was as well? Like, that was a soap opera for teens.
That was.
There's a coup d'etat in my pants.
That was. You're right. That one was. No.
Yeah, you like soap operas. You just prefer them to have. You just prefer them to have robots in them.
I mean, don't robots make everything better? Yes. I don't know. Okay, exactly.
I don't know. I saw Bicentennial Man. Like, nah.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Robin Williams movie.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I remember that now. All right. That wasn't terrible.
So anyway.
One of the better films, but...
There was a good amount of Vigi game news this week. Should we dive into the news?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do it.
Did anybody watch the Triple I Initiative Showcase?
Nope.
Yes.
Who?
Did not. I heard it happened.
Okay, Aki, give us all the details because you watched it.
I don't have very many details because most of it was a bunch of shit I just did not give a damn about.
Yeah, it was a 45-minute showcase of just trailer after trailer after trailer, all indie games, except kind of like a little bit here and there. They snuck in some mainstream stuff. They started off with Slay the Spire 2. That is coming out next year, early access in 25. They showed off new content for Risk of Rain 2, Shadows of Doubt, Sharpshooter Assassin update, whatever that is. Contra is coming to Vampire Survivors.
What?
Yes. What? Contra. We are getting Brad Fang from Contra Hardcore. And going to be in the game, and you're going to get Contra guns, and you're going to shoot zombies and monsters, and it looks fun as hell.
Do it.
Weird. More Vampire Survivors is always good.
I'll play that.
They announced Undermine 2. You like the first Undermine, a sequel is coming. What the Car? If anyone is a fan of What the Golf, What the Bat.
I am. Let's go look this up.
What the Car is coming. And a September 5th release date. So that one should be fun.
Okay, I'm sold with 10 seconds of footage in this trailer. Yep.
I'm trying to see.
There's a car cutting a pickle. I'm just saying. That's a phrase no one's ever said. It's one of those. No, it is.
That's a sentence I've never heard in my life, and I probably will never hear again.
Yep, that's great. Okay, continue.
Cat Quest 3 got a new trailer, which is cool.
Okay.
Brotato is getting some DLC. Pal World is getting an expansion. Wizard of Legend 2. Well,
that's cool.
Let's get to the two big things. Never Alone 2 is coming.
Mm. Woot.
So if you were a fan of Never Alone, that is getting a sequel. And Prince of Persia is teaming up with the Dead Cells devs for the Rogue Prince of Persia.
Which is mobile only, if I remember correctly, right?
What?
No, it's on PC.
Okay. All right. I had read somewhere that it was supposed to be mobile.
Pretty sure it's on PC.
Looks neat. It's just so weird to see something new, more Prince of Persia, like now. Like, we just had that game. They just put out DLC last week. Or this week or whatever. That's strange.
Did you play the DLC?
No. They didn't have anything I really wanted in it. I don't care about speedruns or, like, there wasn't any new parts of the map or anything like that. That didn't really, and a new outfit. Like, I didn't really enjoy most of the outfits that were in there except for one. So, not really my thing. But I am looking for a reason to go back in, but I would like something else. I don't know what that would be. But I don't think they're just going to tack on a new part of the world. But I don't know. Great game.
But yeah, Rogue Prince of Persia will be on Steam early access May 14th.
Crazy.
So right around the... Andy was asking me about it. He's like, hey, did anyone ask about the new Prince of Persia? Listen, man, that's got to be a ways off. Like, got to wait to ask me about that. He's like, no, it's next month. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's so strange. It just feels like... I mean, it's just so weird because all you're going to do is compare it to the last one because it's still fresh in your head, you know? Yeah. It's going to play differently. But
this one is going to be an action roguelite.
Yeah,
so it's not going to be a Metroidvania.
Yeah.
Only four of the games in it interested me at all.
Which ones?
The Rogue Prince of Persia, obviously, because Prince of Persia is awesome. Ryuk, I think is how it's pronounced. It's R-Y-G-K, I think. Which was one that they showed that had, like, a person skateboarding and rollerblading stuff in it, I think. Something like that. That wasn't a very long trailer. It was very, very short, so there's not a lot there. It just had interesting graphics. Never Alone 2, obviously.
It's apparently called Rakugaki.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they talked a bit more about Flintlock. And I want that so bad.
I'm excited about they showed off some more about 33 Immortals as well, which I'm excited about that one. That's going to be getting a closed beta next month. You can sign up on their website.
Nifty.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other thoughts on the III initiative thing?
I don't know much about it. It's just a...
It's just a showcase.
Yeah.
Didn't know if anyone had any other thoughts on the trailers or...
No.
Nah.
Having that Never Alone. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I do care more about these indies than I do like the big AAA stuff right now. So this is always intriguing. I feel like you get more new ideas in games like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even though, you know, Prince of Persia is technically Ubisoft, but...
I think I'm most interested about Contra coming to Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, I'm excited to see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Plus game catalog update for April 16th was announced, and they have a whole bunch of games joining. April 16th, they're getting Dave the Diver.
Nice.
This was a weird one. Oddballers. That what was a Ubisoft, like,
yeah,
I could never get into the game. Literally, I could never get into the game. Like, I would always like soft lock at the title screen, or it wouldn't log me in. I don't know what the game is about. Construction Simulator. Review it? I think so.
Yeah, because I couldn't get anywhere either. Right? I don't remember. I don't know.
I don't.
Whatever.
The Crew 2.
Okay.
Raji. Lego Ninjago video game, Deliver Us Mars, Lego Marvel's Avengers, Miasma Chronicles, Stray Blade, and a game called Nower, Play With Your Food.
I haven't heard of about half of these. Interesting.
Some good stuff in there.
Yeah, there's some good, some hidden gems in there, too. And then nice. Two other games, April 23rd, they're getting Tales of Kinzera Zao.
Yeah.
We talked about that the other week. And then May 9th, they're getting Animal Well. Too sure what that is, but it looked interesting.
No idea what that one is.
And then PS Plus Classics, the thing I always rip on them about. Decent lineup. Three games, all from the PS1, with Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob will like this one. Star Wars Rebel Assault 2, The Hidden Empire.
That's cool.
And Medieval from the PS1.
Hm. Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Good month for PS Plus.
One of them had to be.
Bad news for EA Play members. The price is going up on May 10th.
Yeah,
of course it is.
Yeah, monthly is going from $5 to $6. Yearly is going from $30 to $40. Then if you are an EA Play Pro member, 1 month is going from $15 to $17. And a year is going from $100 to $120.
Okay.
Good. Could be worse.
Yeah.
It's a dollar, but that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect World Entertainment and Gearbox Publishing are now known as Arc Games.
Okay.
Yep, just a name change there.
Wait, Arc, how are they spelling Arc?
A-R-C.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good, because, you know, there is... Or wait, never mind. I'm thinking of a different publisher.
Mobile publisher Miniclip has acquired Future Lab, the developers of Power Wash Simulator. Interesting acquisition there.
Yeah.
And then last bit of news I have, some sad news. Ascendant Studios, makers of Immortals of Avium, have reportedly furloughed most of their remaining staff.
That sucks.
So it looks like that studio might be on its last legs, which is a shame.
Oh, that's too bad.
Aki, any news on your end?
Yes. Yes, actually, for once in my life, I do. It's not going to matter to any of you motherfuckers, but it matters to me, so it's going out. There was recently an interview with some of the Gundam people, and it seems like there's going to be a new G Gundam coming out, which is the Gundam where they're fighting in a tournament instead of a war. So that's cool.
So the soap opera really goes global this time.
Not a soap opera. Go to hell. And that's it. That's all my news. This is just there. It
you're looks excited
like
about
gonna
soap-
be another one.
You're excited about a soap opera. Opera.
You go to hell. You go to hell. You die. Yeah, that's
Bree,
it.
Any news on your end?
I do have some news. Well, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts had their awards ceremony today, and they also have a games category. And no big surprise that there were a lot of winners, like Alan Wake won for artistic achievement and audio achievement. Baldur's Gate 3 won a bunch of things. Super Mario Wonders, Dave the Diver, Venba won debut game. Some good stuff in there. Hi-Fi Rush won for animation.
Nice.
So there was some good wins
that
in there.
Hot PS5 game, Hi-Fi Rush.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. So just you know, hey, quick coverage of the BAFTAs there. There was some other wins in there if you want to go look that up.
Yeah, I think Chia won for something.
Oh yeah, Chia did win for something.
Which was cool to see. I played guitar on that title screen, so I'll take it.
I really wish that would come to Xbox. They announced it for Switch.
Oh, I know. I'm sure it's a platform thing, and I actually have not played it because I want it to be a couch game. Like, yeah. I could have gotten a PC code ages ago, but I'm just like, I just want to sit and wait, and then so I can sit on my couch. So still haven't checked out all the amazing ukulele tech that John worked so hard on. It's pretty amazing, but yeah. Eventually.
That's a cute one. We did an interview for that game too with it was Jenny from Kepler.
Something like that.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All the rest of my news is Fallout related.
Like what?
Oh, the show's out, right?
Yeah, the show. The show has been getting good reviews so far.
Yeah, that's great.
There's a lot of drops that are going on surrounding that. They actually dropped the show a day early, which is really cool. I haven't seen any of it yet because I don't have Prime right now. But if you do have Prime Gaming, you get free copy of Fallout 76 on Xbox and Windows. If you just need to claim it before May 15th. So if you don't already own Fallout 76, you've thought about checking it out, you can check it out free. You just got to go claim it. Fallout 4 is getting a next-gen upgrade on the 25th of this month with performance and quality modes and stability improvement and fixes. So,
well, holy shit, Hazy JT, he is determined to get a hype train going tonight because he just gifted 5 subs to the community.
Wow.
Let's see, Subterfuge Dog, Pick on Fusion, Cool Gamer, Ottershine, and someone named Lady Magritty.
Yeah.
Magritty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Gritty, Gritty. from Philly? Jacob, exactly. It's Gritty.
Oh, man, I love Gritty.
Hazy, thank you so much.
Fucking yeah.
The fucking yes are gonna keep going for a little bit. So Purnell, thank you for hanging out and chiming in every few minutes. Hazy, thank you so much for your generosity tonight between the biddies and the subs.
Fucking yeah.
Much love your way. Fucking yeah, indeed. Thank you, Purnell. Injury, thank you for 19 more biddies. It never had confetti on the screen. Did it have confetti on the screen? I wasn't watching. I don't know what my alerts do anymore. I really don't. Jacob, any news on your end?
I do. OJ Simpson is dead.
Should we get a sound clip for that?
I don't know. I mean, if anything, everything's going to seem really dated, but like, it is worth noting. OJ Simpson.
Try it again. Try it again.
OJ Simpson dead.
Oh no. He must have been in a video game at some point, right?
He was. That's why I brought it up. He did, if you recall, All Pro Football 2K8 which was released back on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. He did actually show up in that game. He was one of the playable characters.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Apparently it was a big kerfuffle back in the day, because I had to do a quick Google search to see if O.J. Simpson showed up in any video games, because I was expecting like stuff like, you know, pre-trial. And yeah, that's the only one that I could really get a quick info on.
There we go. O.J. Simpson was in a video game. There we go. What other news?
No, that's it, actually.
That's all you got?
Dude, like, I already told you, I don't have a computer in front of me. They took it away.
What are we going to fill time with now? Grant, what news do you have?
Shouldn't we just do reviews?
You're not going to let me do my news?
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
Jacob, sorry, you dick.
I got a bomb to drop.
Let's hear it.
In the words of Aki, I don't think y'all motherfuckers care about this, but I do, so I'm putting it out.
Now Grant's going to tell us about his soap opera.
Whoa. That was it. That was my news. They just announced ABBA Pinball. And we can go on.
Really?
We can go on to games if you want.
Like a physical ABBA pinball table or
digital? A physical ABBA pinball table with a what do you call those things? Disco light in it.
And a fucking disco ball in the machine?
Absolutely. It's ABBA.
See, now the pinball should be a disco ball. Well, if it was Zen Studios, that's what it would be.
Hire this guy. But that's all I got. We can go to games now.
What are your thoughts on the new pinball tables? They just announced the three new ones.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, wait. What were they? We talked
Knight
about
Knight Rider. What the hell are the other two?
Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, and what was the third one? Help, Brie, you're more on it than we are.
It wasn't the A-Team, was it?
No, keep guessing though, because you're going to get it eventually. Magnum P.I. ball.
Oh wow, that actually just writes itself. Why isn't there one?
I know.
Oh my god. I don't know.
Xena is the third one.
Oh, that's
Xena. Right. Yeah, totally. I love it. I think that stuff's great. I mean, that's absolutely this demographic. And I just watched Battlestar for the first time a couple years ago, and so nice. I'm game to I'll give those a whirl.
Wait, hold on. Which Battlestar is it? Is it the new one or the old one?
Original. Yeah, the one from like 12 years ago or whatever, 10 years ago. The one with Lady Starbuck.
Okay. All right.
So I guess that's technically new, right? Okay.
That is the new one.
Yeah. That one. Not the old one that none of us have seen.
Hey, I've seen it.
Well, I stand corrected.
I even sat through Galactica 1980 one time.
Oh, wow. Right on.
One time.
I used to record them off of the Sci-Fi Channel to give to a friend of mine who worked in a video game arcade in a mall. And because he didn't have access to like cable, and I did, and we would trade, and he would give me tokens for the arcades.
Like, oh, that is just the best setup. I thought that was in the 70s.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So just okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch them all when I would record, and then we would talk about like Battlestar Galactica. It was good stuff. Like,
you know, it's so funny. I actually had a toy Cylon when I was a kid, but I never saw the show. Had a little thing on the back of his head that would move the light back and forth, but never actually watched it. But did watch the later one. Quite good. Goes off the rails a little bit, but real good show.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah.
80s are coming back, people. The 80s are coming back. As in a Walmart, and they had S'mores Crunch cereal. Like, I haven't seen that shit since the 80s. It was Golden Graham S'mores. It had the same old logo and everything. And I almost teared up in the middle of Walmart just looking at this, because it was just instantly I'm transported back to my childhood, like walking down the street to the little corner store that we had in Hazleton, and just go in and give the clerk like a dollar or whatever for a box of cereal, whatever it cost back then. Just instantly I felt like I was four again.
You should get a box of that. Take it on the train with you. You know,
no, I did buy it. I bought it. Oh, it's not that good, but I bought it.
So you eat the S'mores Crunch on the train as it flies through the air.
It's anyway. Not as tasty as I remember it being. Like, no cereal tastes as good as I remember it being. And I'm guessing it's because of all the sugar that they don't put in it anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah. Or other chemicals.
They have to put more healthy alternatives in there. When we were kids, it was just like, here's mercury. Have fun, kids.
Yeah.
Mercury Crunch was my favorite.
Mercury Crunch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's one of the ingredients in Smurf Fairy Crunch. They might have also put some real Smurfs in there. I don't know.
Real Smurf. You haven't lived till you've had a rotisserie Smurf, let me tell you. Anyway. They're really small, though. Too bad.
Oh, man. All right. Any other news that you want to talk about? Or
yeah, ABBA Pinball. Good chat.
Yeah, any other news, or should we dive into reviews?
Yeah, reviews.
Reviews.
All right, let's do this. First game to talk about tonight, Botany Manor, developed by Balloon Studios, published by Whitethorn Games, released April 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $24.99. Welcome to Botany Manor, a stately home in 19th century England. You play as inhabitant Arabella Green, retired botanist. Explore your house and gardens filled with research to figure out the ideal habitat of forgotten flora. Grow each plant to discover the mysterious qualities they hold. Bree, tell us about your time with Botany Manor.
So my time has been amazing. I've played this game like 3 times now.
Oh, geez.
One of them was unintentional. So kind of like you said, we're retired botanists come home to the Somerset Manor in the English countryside in 1890. We've got a copy of our herbarium on forgotten flora that we have this like potential publishing deal for, but it's empty and we need to fill it. And it's a great retirement project, right? And our unfinished book also serves as a guide to the game. We got our first seed. And like in the conservatory, the greenhouse or whatever, and it's full of smog. And we read some things around the room, and it tells us how to find the best temperature to grow our flower. And it's this really cool, like, pinwheel flower. And basically, it's a puzzle game where you have to figure out how to make all these plants, these wild, unusual, ridiculous, impossible plants. And you have to figure out how to get them to thrive. Exploring the grounds is a huge part of the game, and it's all really very peaceful. Using clues from letters, paintings, poems, and diagrams, you help unlock the secrets of each plant's ability to flourish, and you unlock new areas of the manor that have missing keys and puzzle locks to solve. You'll need to find the unique conditions for each plant. One of them blooms only during lightning, or a plant that is heard in the wind on a mountain. One that blooms only at sunset on a particular time of year. And all these things you find give you clues on how to solve these puzzles. You also get to use your journal to sort clues to the particular plants. You could compare this to like escape room style puzzles, but it's much more chill. It's just like the types of thinking you have to do and, you know, discovering the clues around the environment to how to figure out how to do all the things. The art style is soft and cozy. There were some occasional visual glitches that were noticeable, but not game-breaking. The achievement hunting. The achievement list is really fun and rewards you for exploring. You get to find
any
some
fun examples.
Yeah, well, one of them is just for, like, flushing the toilet. one of them encourages you to sit down and enjoy the scenery for a length of time. There's a couple other things that they're just, you know, like you got to type out SOS on a telegraph, stuff like that. So, and it's just, it's all really fun.
I like when they have fun with the achievements.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Toilet achievements, toilet humor. No. But there's plenty of other flavor text to be found besides the stuff that you need for the puzzles. About mostly the story of Arabella, and if you think about the time period, what it would be like to be a woman in Victorian times. Here's this educated lady, and in terms of science, you know, she's top of her game, and she's doing all these amazing things, but she's not really taken seriously, and that's kind of an interesting commentary of, like, how far we've come in a short period of time, you know, how women in science are treated. Let's see, oh yeah, I wanted to talk about the audio a little. There's something just like, there's most of the game is like this atmospheric tone, but, you hear like birds chirping and plants rustling and all these little sounds that kind of bring everything to life. But when you get this little ding, it's kind of like when you get the ding in Power Wash Simulator, it's just like really satisfying. There's like a little soothing tone that you get when you discover a new clue, or when you finally bloom the plant that you've been working on, getting all the clues to figure it out. Like, it's just so soothing and encouraging. My biggest knock for the game is that when you have your book and you find clues, you can't click in the book to reread the clue. You have to go back and find it in the environment. That's really my biggest knock for the game. And I'm gonna say, like, the puzzles were really logical and everything, but there's a point in time where you're juggling like four plants at once in a chapter, and it gets a little confusing, like trying to figure out the clues. And it would have been nice if you could have looked back to your journal instead of having to go find it on the chair or the table that you found it originally to reread it. Most of them are pretty like well organized as far as like where you go to find stuff. But there was a couple times where it would have been nice to be able to just like pull it from the book. But you do need to take the time to read everything to really solve all the clues. And I wouldn't say that the puzzles are super hard if you're reading the clues. But that's okay. Like, I really enjoyed this game. I'm going to say I even enjoyed watching others play this game, even though I've already played it and I know all the answers. Like, it's just fun to watch people discover the game. I highly recommend it. It's probably one of my favorite games I've played this year so far.
Ooh. I have some questions okay. for you.
Yeah.
You said you played it multiple times, perhaps two yes. for enjoyment and one for some other reason. What's the story?
Oh, I just had to go back and get some achievements. So I had to.
Oh, for achievements.
Yeah, gotcha. For achievements. Yeah, because, you know, I'm one of those achievement hunters. But the other fun thing I found out, because this is also on Game Pass right now, they actually put it on Game Pass and Game Pass PC as a separate list. So if you're on Xbox and you're playing this game, you actually could, you know, play it twice for achievements if you wanted to.
So that's what you did.
So that's what I did, of course. But also because I really enjoyed the game and it was fun to go through it a second time, and it was neat to kind of do the speed run of it. And I still enjoyed it just as much. Well, maybe not just as much, because, you know, I already knew all the answers, but I still enjoyed playing it again. So, yeah.
Cool. Is there like a fail state in this game? You mentioned chapters. Like, is there a way to lose, or is it just getting stuck?
No, I think you would just be getting stuck.
Gotcha.
But I feel like it would be hard to really get stuck in the game for too long. I did get stuck in one part. And it was one of those situations where I was like, I know the answer. I know what the answer is, but I don't know how to. And finally, I walked through the attic one more time and I was like, oh my goodness, I saw this thing at the beginning of this puzzle. And because I was juggling these four other or these three other plants and all of their different clues, like I knew that I needed this thing. I just didn't remember that I had seen the thing I needed. And then puzzle solved.
I do love a good
longer. Yeah.
I love a good forehead slapper and these kinds of things. It looks really cool, and I hear it's pretty short, and I think
it is pretty short.
Up my alley.
It is pretty short. Even if you struggle, I mean, you're looking at, you know, somewhere around the 4 hour mark is what I would guess for most people the first time. So, you know, you could probably do it in like 2 to 3 hours if you're like just super on top of it. But yeah, so it's not super long. But, and I wish it were a little longer, personally, but I still enjoy the heck out of it, so.
Well, as it stands, it's a $25 game. What do you think of it?
I love the game. The price, like, I wish it was, like, $5 cheaper, personally, but that should not dissuade people from giving it a go, and I love this game, and I really want people to play it.
Plus, awesome. It's on Game Pass.
Plus, it's yep. on Game Pass, yep. So, yeah.
Cool, sounds good. All right, Bree, that is it for you. Going sailing again tonight?
I am going sailing again. Because
any fun plans?
I have no idea. I have barely talked to my crew today. I assume that they have all gotten together behind my back and are, you know, currently sailing and doing the things without me. And I'll find out what trouble they've gotten up to. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're on my ship. I am the captain of the ship. They should be sailing. It is mine. I paid for it. I named it. It's called the Winchester.
Yeah, because that's a good ship name.
Well, it's very specifically because my longtime gaming partner and I would sit around and we would go, "What do you want to play tonight?" Like, I don't know. I guess we should try something new. Like, oh yeah, well, we could do this. We could do that. Like, oh, let's just play Sea of Thieves. So it's our Winchester, and so that's what I named the big ship that we all play on. So yeah,
love it.
Very cool. All right. We will let you get going. You have yourself a fun night.
You guys have a good night.
See
you later.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Next game to talk about tonight is called Trail Out, developed by Good Boys, published by Crytivo, released April 10th on Series X and S for $29.99. Welcome to the Festival of Explosive Races, Trail Out. You're in for a mad race in different parts of the world. Your main goal is to live to the finish line and take the main cup of the festival, exploding cars, flying and screaming drivers, the hype from the fans, and unseen destruction around the entire track, all waiting for you here. Grant, tell us about your time with Trail Out, because it sounds fun and I want to know more about it.
This game is the opposite of Botany Manor. I mean, would you agree with that? Like, we're swinging, we're ahead in the cold water and the hot water. We're like Princess Bride. Like, this is, we're getting ready. Okay, we gotta get out your energy drinks. Here we go. Trail Out is really a spiritual successor to the Flat Out series. So there were these kind of destructive racing games that predated Wreckfest. It's getting a lot of Wreckfest comparisons, but Wreckfest is much more of a realistic, realistic in terms of its presentation and the way it handles car stuff. This is straight Flat Out, to the point where there are extra stunt modes where you can just drive your car with a rocket on the back of it, slam into a wall, you fly through the windshield and knock over like pins or stick yourself into the wall. Like,
yeah, that's Flat Out.
That's Flat Out. That's from Flat Out. It's got some Trials vibes in the rock and rollness of it, you know, like the destruction and the exploding barrels and the ragdolling is very much in that world. It's a destruction based racing game. There's some derby stuff too, but it really focuses on the campness and the big destruction. Cars definitely demolish well. And the world is just made of cardboard. Like, you just sort of drive through everything. Everything falls apart. What normally happens is your first lap is an absolute mess. And then the second and third laps are basically looking at what you did because you've already knocked everything over, which is pretty funny. There's a combination of different modes in this game. So you can race with multiple different types of cars and different disciplines. You can race with just one type of car to kind of even the playing field there. There's like rallycross style, there's derby, there's one called domination, which is basically just destruction derby, but in the real world, not in an arena. There's a stunt mode. There's a hunter mode where you play as a cop that uses weapons to blow up cars. Not as good as it sounds, but it's there. And there's escape. So there's a bunch of different modes in the game, a bunch of different tracks. I would say the variety and the amount in this game is probably the biggest perk. It's big. It's a $20 game, but it's quite big. It's all
$20
on
PC. It's $30 on Xbox.
Oh, is it $30? Okay, gotcha. Yep,
$29.99.
Gotcha. It's all wrapped up in a combination of career, and then there's a full free play mode that opens up where you can just play everything. Some levels require more fans, which is one of the currencies in the game. And there's even a two-player split-screen multiplayer mode, which I really appreciate. If you got a car buddy in your house, you want to drive cars into each other, it's always nice to have that as an option. You progress the game by getting money to buy new stuff, buy new cars, and upgrade them, and fans. So there's a little bit of a social media component. You have this app that you run where you can stream for the fans, which is literally you staring at yourself on the screen of your phone, and then your phone loses connection, and you get a random number of fans based on how long you can do it for. And in the app, you get achievements and complete goals and stuff like that. So that kind of keeps you focusing on like one particular goal. And the career progress is locked by the fans system. So you have to get fans by beating races and doing other stuff. And I will say it's a bit of a grind. You don't just play from, and a lot of racing games, you know, there'll be three or four races that are in a block, and the block has a theme, right? You beat the block, you move on. Well, this game, you need a certain number of fans to continue, and you will have to race those races again, or you will have to do something else, go to free play and slam yourself into some bowling pins, something. So there is a bit of a grind there, which is kind of a bummer, but it does force you to play more levels than you might see otherwise. You can get better cars by beating these bosses. And when you beat the bosses, you unlock a new tier of cars. I will say this game is just sort of a mess all over. Like, there's some good mess and there's some bad mess. The translations in this game are so terrible. The translation, this game was not written in English. The VO and the writing is completely insane. I don't know how serious they're actually trying to go with this, but some of the stuff that they say is nonsensical. The introductory cutscene just makes no sense at all. The name of the festival is called Trail Out Festival, the last festival of your life. I mean, in the options menu, that there's only two difficulty modes, which is a bit of a bummer because this game is hard, but the two modes are called Good Arcade and Hard Reality. So like, there's just a lot of that, which I love. I absolutely love that. I feel like that's kind of maybe it isn't on purpose, but it actually kind of like suits the world pretty well. I will say that the in-game music isn't so great. I turned it off, but that doesn't take away the music in the menus, which is nice. So I just sort of have my own music going. It's the kind of stuff you might expect in a game like this. But that's just how it is.
They should hire you to do the music.
Yeah, they should. Everybody should. So the controls are weird in this game. The cars have very little weight. They don't feel quite as chunky as they do in something like Wreckfest. They flip pretty easily. You can get hung on cars. If you rear in someone really good, you get sort of stuck to them. You're going to be hitting the restart button a lot. Someone will turn you around on a track and you're just going to go for the restart button because there's no way you're turning around quickly. Which is basically a blue shell at that point, right? Like you were at the front and now you're at the back, and that's just how it is. There's a handbrake in the game, but the game doesn't really have a drift mechanic or anything. You just sort of slide a little bit and turn quickly. And you know, if you could take these like smooth drifts, the game would just be too smooth. The idea is they want you to be running into all kinds of stuff and causing problems. So I get that, but I will say it's a little frustrating. Like the controls are not the best. It does get better when you get better cars, but it is it's something. It feels indie in that regard. It feels very much like a PS2 game, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I feel like this harkens back to a lot of the kind of car games you played in that era. It's got a realistic look, but it definitely, the cars are a little strange. I'll also say the AI is pretty inconsistent. Sometimes they don't really follow the rules of their own cars. sometimes they're way in the distance in the back. Sometimes they're way in the distance in front of you. It's hard to know. And it's Destruction Derby. Sometimes they'll just drive into the walls over and over again, and you have to kind of coax them out. So not the smartest AI in the game, but it does the job. None of the cars in the game are licensed. Because you're familiar
with Ford. Surprise me.
You know, you're familiar with the Ford Bronco, right?
Yeah.
But have you ever wanted to drive a Bronco with a P? Because there's a Bronco in this game, and you can drive it.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
The audio is not great in this game. The boost in the game doesn't have any sound associated with it. Some of the car sounds sound like idle sounds, like car idle gurgles that have been pitched up. So it just sounds like you're just idling all the time sometimes, but just it's going up in pitch as you move around. It's a little hit and miss there, but the explosions are incredible. Like they're giant and massive and chunky and fill the screen with particles, and there's slow-mo and all that stuff. So they've focused on the stuff they felt like they should focus on. But there's some misses here, I think, in the presentation. But there's like 20 main racing tracks, a ton of other kinds of things you can do. Ton of circuits in the game. I think the options are pretty bad. There's not a lot. There's nothing really with accessibility. There's only two difficulty levels, and I feel like the low one is actually pretty freaking hard. And part of that might be just because the AI is completely unhinged and may not follow the rules. I'm not really sure. But overall, I feel like it's a mediocre game wrapped in a really big, impressively big package for the price. So I think your mileage may vary. The physics are just a little too floppy is the word that kept coming to mind. I feel like it's just a little less tight than you wish it was. Sometimes there's just no reason for your car to flip over, and you do. And that's okay. It's just that happens sometimes. Sometimes your car just flips over.
It happens. Yeah, that's nature.
But yeah. So, I mean, it is a lot of fun. I think if you have a friend locally, then the split screen would be a lot of fun. But I am having some
Apparently
fun with the game.
Some modes support up to four players.
Oh yeah, well, that's cool. I didn't realize that for Xbox, not just PC.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Xbox capabilities. It says multiplayer 2 to 4. So
You don't see that anymore, especially for like a 3D game like this.
I don't know if it's like a hot seat kind of thing where you're passing the controller, or if there's a four-way split. I'd imagine a four-way split would be hard to pull off these.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. I was aware of the two player, not sure about the four player. It's fun. I think I got to play more of it just to see what the insane cutscenes are going to show me next. Like they're just there's a guy with a mask, and when he talks like that. Like he's actually put his hand over his mouth and he recorded the lines. It's just really something. All of the stereotypes of the characters are on point. Like there's a lot to love in the camp. But the game is not like an amazing racing game, but it is a lot of fun. I feel like it fits right there in the flat out category pretty well.
And it clocks in at $30. What's your verdict?
I would say if you're a fan of flat out, like if you're a Wreckfest junkie, you might want to do your research, because this is definitely a little more on the kind of silly arcadey side. But if you got a buddy to play with, I think it's a good deal for the price. For people who aren't already kind of into that and know what they're getting into, I'd probably say wait for a sale. But I am enjoying my time with it, and I want to see how far I can get before I'm just over the AI. But it is a good silly time for sure, and is the opposite of Botany Manor. just to make sure everybody knows.
Yes, there are no plants in this one, right?
No, well, there are, and you're driving over them and blowing them up. I mean, how many car games have red barrels on the track? You know what I mean? It's that kind of game.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds like something I want to play.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Very cool. All right. Well, Grant, that is it for you. You going to stick around or are you heading out?
Yeah, I'll hang out. I like listening to the reviews, so I'll see what these kids
are covering. We've got some fun ones to talk about. The next one is called Loretta, developed by Yakov Budazov, published by Dangan Entertainment, released April 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $14.99. Loretta is a psychological thriller that makes the player an accessory to the heroine's crimes, leading her through a self-crafted nightmare. Loretta's story revolves around a woman's handling betrayal, her husband's infidelity, and reclaiming her agency during the socially tumultuous 1940s. Aki, tell us about your time with Loretta.
Okay, so this game you play as, you might guess, Loretta.
What?
Yeah, I know, crazy. This is a point and click, I guess you'd call it, where you play as a, what's the best way of saying this? A psychotic bitch. Yes, that. A murder-happy, crazy bitch. Yes, we'll go with that. Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right. So, your husband is a, was a piece of shit, and, apparently, Loretta decided, you know, fuck this guy in particular. And she killed his fat ass and tossed him into the local well, which people, I'm just going to tell you, don't throw a corpse into the well on your property. That's probably where you're getting your fresh fucking water from. Bad idea. Just don't do it. Bury him in the yard somewhere. Not advice. And you've been living there happily ever after since. But now some people have hired a PI to come and find your husband because he owes some bad people some not so small amount of money. So this is where you get access and control of your character. The PI is at your house. He is asking you questions. He is a disgusting sack of shit, too. He is openly being, you know, eyeing you up and shit, like a lecher. And the game goes out of its way to give you, hey, here's a sickle. You know, if you pick that up, you can kill him. Or, hey, he needs some water. Here's some poison. You can kill him. Or, hey, he's out in the yard. Here's a shovel. You can really kill him. The entire time you're having a conversation with him and going around different areas, interacting with items, or choosing very specifically to avoid items because you don't want to kill him quite yet, even though every fiber of your being is telling you to kill him immediately. And that is basically the entirety of the game, is She interacts with some people. They're talking to her. Everything starts off okay-ish, and things just start to go downhill. And you can eventually either play it off and try to work your way through it, or you can take their lives into your hands, we'll put it, and throw them into the well, too, I guess. Depending on your actions and the things you say to people and
fall into the abyss
to,
of my gaping butthole.
Let meet the well. You can get various endings. I think there's three different endings for this game. And yeah, it's just, it's really weird because the game really wants you, just it so clearly wants you to kill everyone because there's always something you can use to stab or brain somebody, and it's just like in every room she is clearly a fucking serial killer. And that's the entirety of that game, really, is how do you want to kill these people and do you want to kill them? And the answer is clearly yes, you really want to kill them.
Really quick, big shout out to Dopey for coming in with a raid of 23 people. Oh, that is a whole lot of people coming in. If you are new to the stream, welcome in. This is the SML Podcast. We are reviewing some games right now. We are talking about Loretta. Aki, you were describing exactly what the game is all about. There anything else you wanted to say about it, or did you want to go into your rating?
Let's just go into the rating, because this isn't a very long game.
Well, it's a $15 game. What are your thoughts on Loretta?
I really like just the sheer amount of ways you can kill a motherfucker in this thing. There are so many ways, and everyone, and I mean everyone, is open to being murdered. So if you're like, do I want to murder this person? Yeah, they're annoying. You can do it. It's great fun. And since there's multiple endings, depending on who you decide to let meet their maker, it has plenty of replay value too. So yeah, I'm totally for this. You're going to play it. I think it requires at least three playthroughs because I think there's at least three different endings and I think they all have achievements. So yeah, have fun, folks.
Very cool. All right. Next game to talk about, Goons, Legends and Mayhem. Developed by Rage Cure Games, published by Firestoke, released April 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Players are thrown into an epic adventure to save Zambonia, a once quaint and prosperous kingdom where hockey is at the center of everything. Choose from one of eight unique characters divided into three classes: the attack-focused sharpshooter, the defense-oriented enforcer, and the wingman who could focus on either supporting their team or harassing their opponents. Jacob, tell us about your time with Goons, Legends, and Mayhem.
So, Goons, Legends, and Mayhem, when I first, when Joe first showed off the game, it just looked like it was this multiplayer hockey game, like very arcadey. And, you know, I just pictured my kids getting into some of their first fist fights over this game because of just like how intense and cartoony the action looked. And they're really starting to get that to that age where they're both very competitive with each other. And I was just like, I don't know if I want violence in my house, but fine. Like, let's see how this goes. And the game starts you off with a tutorial, thankfully. Which explains like the whole premise of the game and how everything works. And essentially it's this hockey loving land, and all of a sudden like there's this like bad magic that comes over the whole land because of this big bad it's the great mass anyway, it's essentially turning hockey like I forget what the guy's called, but essentially he's turning all of like the hockey mascots into these bad guys, but also
great
some
masketeer.
Of the players. Great masketeer, thank you. And you have like you're introduced to two of the characters, and you pretty much just like have to learn pretty much how the game works with this tutorial. And like you have not necessarily power-ups, but you've got like special abilities each character has. Like one of them can kind of make this like force field ish wind thing. The other one can do these flaming power shots. Like of course, like you can dash like to like avoid enemies, but also you can go through certain barriers with it, with the dash ability. And yeah, you eventually you just keep fighting like little mini bosses. And also one of the shots, if you're at it like a like one of the parts where the game wants you to be, where you can use this feature, you can actually target where you're going to shoot, which is going to be really helpful in the boss fights, provided that the targeting system actually works. But yeah, after you go through the tutorial, it's a lot of exploring around the world, and there's lots of stuff that you can do. And it's really just, you know, trying to free the land of this, you know, this evil menace, the Masketeer.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, that the story part's pretty fun. My really only complaint with the story mode is that first off, it doesn't exactly always instruct you well as to what you're supposed to be doing. Other times stuff won't properly load. Like I had a boss fight where the boss just never actually ended up doing his thing, and that he's supposed to drop various things onto the arena, which were supposed to explode and stuff, and they just never showed up, and I ended up having to like exit out of the game, restart it, and thankfully that time it did work. But you know, there are stuff where stuff doesn't load. There are times where like the characters are they're just not acting properly. It's like they're kind of like glitching through the walls and the ground and stuff like that. And also like the targeting system is not always great, and so where the game thinks that you're aiming at, you might not actually be aiming at it all. And like instead of going after the boss, you'll just see this like huge brown wall that you're now aiming at, and you just wasted a shot. So some of that kind of stuff can get like, I mean, it needs some fine tuning, but there is a lot to like in the single player campaign. And of course, what you're wondering about is how's the multiplayer? Thankfully, no fist fights have broken out yet. but getting my kids to act as a team, is just not happening. And they spend more time messing around than actually like trying to win a game. But yeah, like I was a little worried that this like wouldn't be a game appropriate for my kids, but yeah, it's a fine game. And honestly, like despite some of the issues that I was having with the gameplay, like there is a lot to like with this game that I was not expecting. The humor's fun. Like when everything works,
if you have the friends, it supports 3v3 games, so you could get 6 people playing this if you have enough people.
Yeah.
Or online.
And, you know, as I said, I think there's a lot to like. It needs some fine tuning, but I had a lot of fun with this.
Well, it's cool. $20. What's your verdict?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. The stuff I mentioned, like, this is all stuff that could be fixed with a patch. It's not game-breaking. Yeah. It's not the end of the day. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's annoying and frustrating at times, but but I really enjoyed it. So I recommend it. Cheap ass Jacob is okay with you paying full price for it.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Next up, I'm excited about this one. Please Leave Me Alone. I Need to Poop. Developed by Corprotech Enterprise Solutions. Released April 8th on Steam for $4.99. Part visual novel, part WarioWare-inspired minigame collection, Please Leave Me Alone, I Need to Poop, is a modern
entire life story.
Is a modern workplace comedy that you can beat within a short session in your office bathroom stall. Multiple stories, multiple minigames, and multiple endings provide replayability. Aki, tell us about your time waiting to poop.
Okay, in this game, you play as some office worker drone dude. and you're drinking your coffee, having a shitty day at work because it's work. And suddenly like, ooh, last night's dinner's not agreeing with me anymore. I should go, oh, son of a bitch. And you pick up your phone that's ringing, and it's your boss. He's like, I need you to do this because this thing for me. Huge favor. Because if you don't do it, I'm going to fire your ass. And this is where the game starts. And at this point, it changes up every time. What his favor is for you to give a presentation. The presentation is one of seven different ones every playthrough. And throughout this, you can choose to stop listening to him at any fucking point you want and head off to the bathroom. Every time you listen to it, he'll tell you one piece of information about this presentation you have to give. And then you lose some of your I'm holding it in strength. So you can listen to his whole spiel and actually know what the hell you're supposed to do to keep your damn job. Or at any point, you can be like, yeah, you told me this already, and hang up on his ass. And then run to the bathroom as fast as you can. My first playthrough, I chose just not to listen to him at all. So it's like, I don't care what you have to say, fuck off. And after this point, with however much stress points you have left, which start at 100 and very quickly diminish, you go into mini games. One of the mini games is you see office workers standing around in a hallway and you need past them and they're all in your fucking way. So you grab paper wads, tin cans, coffee mugs, whatever in hand, and you take aim and you throw with the strength of God to pull all these motherfuckers out your way so you can get to that toilet. So in that you point basically where you're aiming and then click and then it starts making a big to small circle over and over and you're trying to get it to the small so it's aimed perfectly and then you determine the strength. The strength determines how big of a blast radius this fucking thing has. In other words, you want it at the top. So you'll hit as many of these jackasses as possible to make them all out your fucking way. Every so many throws, you lose some of your stress points, which means you're crowning. So you want to get through these as fast as you can. So that's one of the mini games. Another one is like it shows you dashing through an area and you have to jump up and down to different areas to avoid hitting things and being stopped or slowed down, all while also punching your coworkers in the face to get a speed boost. Things like that, you know, and then you might get to the toilet and sometimes you're immediately able to get into it. Sometimes there's someone else who really got to go too. And so the two of you have to play paper, rock, scissors. Best two out of three gets to use the toilet and the other one gets to wait. And if you lose, another asshole will show up and you'll have to play paper, rock, scissors and it can keep going until you shit yourself. So be careful with that. Yeah, sometimes you immediately get to sit in, and then there's a pervert who occasionally likes to look in through the cracks of the door, and you got to poke him in the eye so you can poop because you're a shy pooper. Eventually, hopefully, you don't poop yourself.
There's a pooper and, peeper. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and then after all of that, and you finally crapped your heart out, you get up and leave and pulled right into that meeting. I hope you remembered all the points your boss told you to go through if you bothered to listen to him at all. Because if you fail this, you're fucked. And basically, you have to go through a list of what he wanted you to talk about. It's not verbatim what he said, but close to what he said to get people to agree with what you're saying. And some of them are like, oh yeah, let's give the popular kids guns and train them how to use it in high schools to stop school shooters. Another one is let's take in clowns and turn homeless people into clowns and make them do shitty jobs. That way we get rid of the homeless population, everyone's real happy, and we make jobs. Or, hey, let's make all the suicide prevention hotlines, fill them with old people. They have plenty of life experience to not die. And, you know, talking to people makes them happy, and that way we force people to have to talk to them. And yet it's a win-win for everybody. Just weird shit like that. And yeah, after you give the presentation, your score for all the mini games, for your pooping games, and for your presentation get added together. And then the game ends, and you get to replay it as you see fit. The more you play the game, the more of the different mini games you get to see. There's 6, I think, of them total. And you can eventually, from replaying the game over and over, you can eventually unlock them and just play just that mini game if you want to practice with it. But I think it requires you to have played that mini game either, I think it's 3 times. So you have to play through the game quite a few times in order to get all of the mini games unlocked. But yeah, it's a pretty quick game. You can beat any playthrough, any run, whatever you want to call it, in like, I don't know, 10 minutes, if that. So it's a pretty quick little game. But once you've played through it a couple times, you basically know what you're doing for everything. So there's,
well, it's a $5 game, and it's actually on sale right now for $3. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a pretty simple, easy little game. It's kind of amusing. Just the presentations he has to give are funny, and poking a pervert in the eye who wants to watch you poop is pretty fun. So I must say yes, just because it's fucking weird.
This one sounds perfect for the fuck it, why not?
Yeah, this is a very fuck it, why not? Yeah.
If you got $3, fuck it, pick this up. It's on sale until the 14th for $3. So, there you go. Have fun playing that shit.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about. I don't know what kind of segue to make from that. Holy hell. Let's see. Next game to talk about is a preview of AIM Labs, developed and published by State Space Labs. It is releasing soon on Xbox Series X and S. Is in closed beta right now. AIM Labs is a training platform designed by gamers to help sharpen your core FPS aiming skills. AIM Labs offers a comprehensive set of tools to improve your aim, regardless of which FPS you play. It provides curated aim training scenarios that will turn you into an aim god in no time. Jacob, tell us about your time with AIM Labs.
So AIM Labs is a pretty interesting program. I don't want to call it a game because it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Writing the email, I didn't know if I should call it an app, a program, an experience. Like, I don't know
so
how
it
to.
It shows up under games.
Yeah. And it has achievements.
Right. I mean, theoretically, there are some apps that have achievements, but yeah. Like, I mean, if anything, do you remember those like police training simulator light gun games that you sometimes see at like rest stops and stuff in PA?
Yeah, love those.
Yeah, it's where it's just like all you're doing is like you're shooting a ball like as it pops up, or like you're never actually shooting at people, it's just objects. This is very much in that kind of vein, except it is well, pretty much, I mean, it's just there to help you become a better first person shooter game. And it asks, like, you know, which one are you trying to get best at or better at? And it gives you options for Call of Duty, Apex Legends, and Rainbow Six Siege. And then it gives you various exercises that you could do that are tailor-made to each of those games to hopefully help you get better, or at least, you know, improve your accuracy. and it's all different. You're going to be shooting at a lot of balls. There's some exercises where you have to deal with bouncing, like ones that are bouncing up and down, or bouncing across the screen left to right. There's balls that are coming at you, which of course I really regret saying balls, and I kind of wish I had said spheres, but you know, we're too late, and I'm just going to keep saying that I've got balls coming at me all the time.
Yeah, we know you do.
But
hey, Jacob.
But yeah,
so, Jacob.
You better get your balls ready.
Thank you. But anyways, so there are a bunch of different exercises that you could do, including evasion ones as well, because, you know, not only is it important that you're able to aim, but you also need to be able to not die. Very important part of these kind of games. And so the game actually helps train you on that. And then after each training session, it presents you with some statistics, maybe some advice. I mean, the advice could simply just be like, hey, like, you did pretty well in this one, but, you know, just remember, or you didn't do that great, but just remember, everyone starts, you know, you start at the bottom. You, like,
it's very encouraging.
Yeah, it honestly, like, the way I'd look at it is that it is a very non-judgmental first-person shooter practice game. So if anything, I'd want to call it like the Planet Fitness for FPS games.
Interesting.
And yeah, I mean, like, it's not, the graphics aren't blowing the doors off of anything, but, you know, I do appreciate, like, the stats it was able to give me. Like, you're able to watch your replays, you can save them for later. Like, I think it's a really interesting tool for folks who, you know, they like first person shooter games, but they want to be able to compete online. You know, now how well, like, I don't know if people who play esports stuff, like, if they train with stuff like this, or if this is like a new thing out of the bag. That part I don't know, but, you know, this might be a worthwhile investment for somebody who, like, that's what they're aiming for, and they just want to become way better at first person shooters.
Yeah, I've been training, quote unquote, training with this for about a week now. I don't know if I'm getting better. I feel like I'm getting more comfortable at aiming and moving around quicker. I've been doing the grid shot exercise almost daily at this point, and it seems like my results are about the same. My accuracy is about the same. I just feel like I'm more comfortable doing it.
Okay, I mean, that's good.
Are you, is it primarily mouse, or is there other, like,
options? It's for controller. It's for Xbox.
It's for yeah. Controllers for Xbox. Okay, so yeah. It is for Xbox. Because I know
there is a PC version as well. I don't really know too much about it. I really don't know much about Aim Labs in general. I just saw that it was coming to Xbox, and it was a trainer, and it really caught my attention because I'm not good at first-person shooters. I've never hidden that on the show. I'm terrible at shooters. I'm terrible at aiming. And I wanted to see how this would help me, and if it could help me. And I think after a week, it's way too early to tell if it's helped me. I would love to keep trying this and maybe update in, like, a month or so.
Yeah, I mean, like, I figure, like, when this thing actually releases, like, I mean,
yeah, we should
return to do a full-blown review.
I don't know if there is a set release date or if there's going to be a cost associated with it on console. I would assume that there's an entry cost.
Assume.
I believe it's subscription based on PC. So we don't know any info on pricing or release date, but the beta is available. You could sign up for it on their website and see if you could get into the closed beta. Is this something that people should wish list and keep their eyes on?
I think so. Like, honestly, like, if you want to, or if you already do play first person shooters online, then yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely a worthwhile investment. Like, it feels like it to me anyway.
What's the price you would be comfortable paying for this?
I would say anywhere from 20 to 30, but
I was thinking 20, 25 myself.
But if it was getting up towards 30, then I would expect it to, you know, bring in more styles of games, like not just Call of Duty, Apex, and Rainbow Six.
Yeah. Well, I think those are just the ones that they have the training simulations for. Like, I don't think they're officially associated sanctioned. With those games. No. It's just these are exercises that could help you with this particular set of skills needed for this game. But I don't think they're like officially associated with those games.
Gotcha.
I don't know how that works. But yeah, we'll keep our eyes on this one, and hopefully in the future we'll revisit it and we'll see how I'm doing. So, do you feel cool. It's helping you?
If anything, I think it got me to like slow down and like just stop spraying bullets everywhere. Because now I was more mindful of like what percentage of my shots were hitting. So I think there is some improvement with it. As I said, if anything, I think it's making me more careful.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, well, who knows? Like maybe that's all some of us need.
True. All right. Well, it is time to shift things up a little bit.
SML After Dark.
All right. First SML After Dark game to talk about is Unreal Lust Theory, developed and published by Incitan Games. Released March 29th on Steam Early Access for $5.99. Dive into the seductive world of Unreal Lust Theory, a 3D adult game packed with quests and steamy encounters. Live out your fantasies as a 20-year-old, navigating interactions with a variety of alluring female characters. Embark on a journey where choices lead to a thrilling outcome. Aki, tell us about your outcome.
Yeah, lots of it. This is a super early access game right now. It is currently basically just a sandbox, which is why this is a short one. You are just some guy, and you wake up one day, and you're in a house with three women. In case you didn't notice by the name of this, it is one letter off from Incestian. And that is very specifically what their games tend to focus a lot on, is incest. So get prepared. You get to determine the three ladies that are with you, what their relation are to you. However, one is clearly supposed to be your mom or aunt or something, and then like an older and younger sister. So, but you can determine what the fuck they are if you so desire it to be something else. And you have a couple missions. They're basically go look around the house, see everyone's room, and then go talk to each one of them. Because this is, again, super early. You get to see a handful of sex scenes if you can find them around the house. They're all already pre-rendered. There's no story to go with them yet. It's just checking things out. And then you can also hunt for some Easter eggs in the house at the moment and hand them over to people just as an extra little quest, because why not? And that's really all there is to the game. It can be completed in like 45 minutes. So at this point,
wow.
Currently, yeah, as I said, super early access. I was expecting a bit more content in it than what's here. So, yeah, there's not a lot here, sadly, not yet.
Well, it's $6. What do you think?
I think at right now that's asking a lot for what is essentially just a 30-minute game. However, as they add major updates to it, they are also going to be increasing the price to go with that. So if you've played any of their other games, it might be worth it to get in it early and spend the $6. That way, when they increase the price and get it fully finished and put on Steam, then you don't have to buy it at a more expensive price. So I would say yes, because their games aren't bad. So, but all right. As for if you're not sure if these games are for you, I would have to put it as a fuck it, why not at this price. And then you can see if you like it later. Literally, on when it's actually finished. Yeah. And if you have absolutely no interest in games like this, then you're probably not listening. So who cares?
All right, and one final game to talk about tonight is Lustyverse, Passion on Display, developed and published by Incitan Games, released March 23rd on Steam for $6.99. As a young college student, you live in a mostly mundane life of studying, working, and hanging out. However, that all changes when a new girl moves in next door. With her arrival, you start to spend your free time very differently, resulting in many dramatic and interesting twists and turns. Aki, what is going on in Lustyverse?
Okay, and this, you play as a young guy at college. Big shocker, I know. And you're living with your insert relationship here. Clearly supposed to be sister. And, you know, both y'all are college students. You basically spend all your time working and going to school, and that's basically it. And then one day, a new neighbor shows up, and it's a hot redhead, so you might understand why I wanted this game. and she decides to throw your life out of whack in every possible way. She is an incredibly free spirit, and oh so very extremely horny. So...
You don't say.
Yeah, yeah.
What a surprise.
I know, right? And this game isn't just a sex game, thankfully. This has story to it, which is why I said these are decent games. And in this one, she is basically trying to get you out of your shell because you had your heart broken by your ex who you caught banging your best friend 3 years ago, and you're still going on and on about it like a bitch. So she is basically... trying to get you out of your funk because she's attracted to you and wants to be with you for now, at least, if nothing else. The thing is, she also likes your sister. So she decides she's going to go for your sister too. Why? Because if you can have one, why not have both? And that is the start of how your fucked up life gets more fucked up. You end up confronting your ex because of this girl, and to actually get the closure you wanted. You end up meeting other people, and you end up crossing some lines that maybe you may not have necessarily should have crossed. So, yeah, it's really fun. It does deal with the heartbreak of the breakup fairly well-ish. It's not perfect by any means, because again, this is a sex game. But, yeah, I think it deals with all the relationship pretty well, because the characters actually start to get to know each other more and more, and whilst it does start off as a more sexual thing, they do get to know each other through their time, and during conversations, you can actually choose how to interact with her, and some of those interactions can make her really upset with you, because you lie to her, and so on and so forth, and, yeah... It's a pretty good one. I really like this one because the story is really well done. And yeah, the characters are all pretty hot.
Cool. Well, it is $7. What are your thoughts?
Totally worth it. This is a fantastic game, and it's worth being more than that, honestly.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Big thanks to all of y'all for being here. Grant, big thanks to you for being here, hanging out with us, keeping us company. We always love when you're on. Thanks to Bree for being here. Massive apologies once again to Bite Rockers Games for my computer hating me and sabotaging everything I do.
But it's about right for your life, so, you know, it is what it is.
Music, we're going to play something from some guy named Steamage. Steamage? Steamage? Is he a mage?
I'm not sure. I haven't hit puberty yet, so I'll let you know when the powers develop.
Do you have anything new we can play, or anything, any big hits that you like?
We dropped a Super Strikers, put up a music video a couple weeks ago for a new track that's going to be on an upcoming Brave Wave album. It's a Mega Man Dr. Wily track. You can play that. We're going to be jamming that next weekend at VGM Con, and I'll see you soon.
Very cool. Well, I will see you there. We will play that, and we will give you the floor. Introduce the song, Grant, for our final words. What are we about to listen to?
We are listening to the Super Strikers rendition of Mega Man 1 Dr. Wily music, which is not music that people have heard as much. It's a pretty interesting track, and we had a lot of fun doing it. And it's going to be on the new album, the new Brave Wave album called Giants, which comes out later this month, I think on the 20th.
420, nice.
Oh, 20.